The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome everyone today. Today's Saturday to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7 is 9:06 a.m., and it's the 30th of December here in upstate New York, Albany, New York. And I do this like every show. Some people stand up, some people sit down. In through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a winner, I am a champion. We've been doing this for a few months. I've gotten pro and con with it. Well, the pros are what we care about, because if you don't believe in what you're saying to yourself, you're going to have a hard time getting anywhere in a destination of life. And same way of confidence. We've been touching on it. Develop your mind. The only way you're going to open all that up is you've got to be so confident in your ability, more so than anyone around you, because it's not something that people really concentrate on, and they think a lot of this stuff is way out there. Try to live life without doing things of that nature. You might get by, but we see a lot of unhappy people out there, and I think a lot of it is due to just not developing yourself. But that's another thing we'll get into. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Winners and Champions, Inc., that is a product out there that's all tested here in the FBC Steel and Stone Yard. 15 years on that, and there's going to be more and more modules, and I'm telling you right now, you want something for 2018, which is going to change your life forever, go after it. It is that damn good. Also, too, contributions to the show. That's on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. 25, 50, 100. Go out, look at it. You're going to get the first module on all three, and then the $50 and $100, you'll get a half hour and 1 hour of time with me. And I feel that with all the information that we give out for free, I don't think that's a lot to ask from anybody, because most people that are running shows of this quality are charging you for them. And that's the way it is. And I understand that, because this costs a lot of money, and we need some work, because I'm working outside right now, because I won't let this dream ever go. This dream will multiply as big as Walt Disney did, and he's not around. And that's the idea. When you're gone, your dream is still multiplying, and that's the biggest thing you should always think about. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look. We've got over 860 shows out there. And that's just a little bit over 3 years right now. And also go out to motivationmuscle.com and sign up for our free newsletter. I've been lax with that because of other things, but after the first of the year, I'll be getting at least a couple or more out a month, and that's worthwhile right there. It keeps us connected, and you can tell others about us, and they'll jump on the bandwagon too. Well, everyone knows how I love having new guests on the show, and we always seem to keep them coming back because they share a lot of the things we all do here, and that's what I want to do. We're building more and more family members, and this is a lifetime dream of mine, and I want everybody connected to this because we're going bigger and bigger places in 18. And I want to introduce Jeff Valadakis here today with us. Jeff is a strong man, and I noticed him out on Facebook, and I also know he knows Martin Jancic and all that too. Carrying my favorite stone, I still think the greatest manhood stone, the Husafel. He's also lifted the Denny's, and he's a strong man. And before I bring Jeff in, you know, I've been thanking people big time that I feel have really altered my life in a very positive, you know, respect. Obviously, Anthony DiTillo with the power rack. John McKean with the power rack, who I'm working on right now with just some explosive stuff. And this is a guy who's 70 years old now that's cranking huge weights still out in the rack. And somebody, you talk about a dream, reading about him in Hard Gainer. Now I speak to him at least once or twice a week by phone and email and all that. It's absolutely incredible. And of course, Steve Jack. Who can ever discount what Steve Jack has done for stone lifting? I never even probably would have touched a stone if I didn't watch the video of Steve and obviously going to Iceland and lifting the Husafell stone. So Jeff, welcome to the show. It's an honor, and welcome to our family, my friend.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be on the show with you.
It's great to have you. Is there anything that I missed? Do you have websites? Do you have stuff coming up in 18 you want to promote? Anything like that? Take it away.
Nothing. I'm hoping to get back to Scotland to do a few of the stones that I missed. But, nothing really. Just some stuff on Facebook right now.
Yeah, okay. That's not a problem. Everyone knows this is an introduction show. We're introducing Jeff to the family now that he's come in with us. And, Jeff, this is a pretty simple question. I ask everybody this. What really introduced you to weightlifting? I mean, you know, I don't know if you know my brother Jimmy, who is basically everything's dedicated in his honor, had muscular dystrophy, and he died very young. But there's nothing wrong with him mentally, and he went everywhere with us. And one of the things as a young kid, you know, you ask your parents, and your parents reassure you you can't get that. And Jimmy had the worst of it. It was called Duchenne's, and that is ultimate deadly. Ultimate. And it was never talked about or anything like that. He never made reference or anything, but I'm sure he knew. So one day I'm in a, a small store, and I love comics. I still do. And I see this comic of the Incredible Hulk. It changed my life forever. And the Hulk is still my favorite. I still watch anything with the Hulk. I still like the 2008 Hulk with Ed Norton, the best. But the comics and all that, and that settled the score with me to really develop into where I am right now. And so what is it? I mean, a lot of people say family members, uncles, aunts, or someone takes you under your wing. What basically got you into this great thing we call physical culture?
I would say, if nothing else, the very basic, just to keep myself healthy. Mm-hmm. There's been a number of people that kind of inspire me, and those were Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course.
Sure.
And also Magnus for Magnuson and John Paul Sigmarsson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's quite a pile of people, let me tell you. And I think, you know, Charlie Oliphant was on the other night. I had told you, I spoke with him last night. We really got into this stuff, you know, with Arnold, the movies of like the 80s. And of course, who can ever dispute the Rocky movies and some of the great Westerns with Clint Eastwood in and a lot of, you know, Charles Bronson, all these things, and how the times were much different, you know, as far as, well, they were even making kind of reference in the 80s to what was going on they didn't like. And I love those movies for more than one reason, but the one thing that I can really put my thumb on is they inspired you. They made,
for sure,
they made you feel like you could do anything. So, I mean, obviously, are you a Rocky fan? Do you like all, you know, the Terminators, Predators? Because Charlie was watching Predator last night. I mean, what do you think, especially as a young man growing up? I mean, I was saying I'd watch a Rocky movie, I'd have to go out and do something at 11 o'clock at night. That inspires you when you want to get up out of your warm house. But go ahead, elaborate on that.
Yeah, definitely a fan of all those 80s action movies.
Yep.
I've watched a few of them over the Christmas holidays here.
Yep.
I usually watch Pumping Iron.
Yeah.
At least once a year. My wife is sick of it because I watch it too many times, and it's got a bit of the 1970s aspect that's, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of, well, I won't say anything bad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the stuff people say, well, you know, it's not like that today. Well, there's a lot of things today that I don't agree with either. And I think where we are much different than a lot of the masses of people is we understand really what strength truly is. And they look at it from the outside in and say, well, all you're doing is lifting weights or all you're doing is lifting stones. And I'm like, really? You know, like I was telling Charlie the other day, I ran into some older friends of mine just by accident. And the first thing they say out of their mouth is, oh, you're still lifting? I'm like, what? You know what I mean? It's like, this is my life. This is what I am. Yeah, I still am. There's a lot of pre-notion, preconception about a lot of things in life. And that's one of them. I think what I notice more than ever, people, because you hear this all the time. You get to a certain age, you're supposed to be this. You get to a certain age, you're supposed to have this disease. You know, this, that, and the other thing. And I don't buy into any of it. I mean, things happen to good people. We know that. But I love lifting in respect to, I believe if you understand physical culture and what you're doing, I'm not going to say you can't get something that could take your life. But I think in a lot of ways you do bulletproof your life in more ways than one. And what I want to ask you is, how do you, you know, I always say, just because you're not lifting a stone or a barbell, this stuff is engraved not only mentally in you, but in your DNA and everything. And really, even though you leave the gym, it's still there. What's your feelings on that? How do you, when you're under a bar or you're over a stone and getting ready, what thoughts are you thinking about? Because, you know, we're constantly reevaluating what we are, what we do. You know, the other day, I got to go out and train tomorrow. It was 21 below here the other day when I was training. Are you crazy going out, frostbite or what? Tell us, what is it, what do you see that this physical culture has done for you? And do you feel that even though you can communicate with anybody, don't you feel like you're maybe off a little bit somewhere else? So elaborate on any of that, please.
Well, I totally agree with what you were saying about age. I'm 45 years old,
yep.
And I feel like I'm, you know, right at the peak right now.
Yep.
Like when I was a kid, once you got over 30, you were basically over the hill.
Yeah, you're done. Yep. Yep.
And I've never really got into that mentality.
Yep.
Even when some of the kids at the gym they mention old man strength, but
yeah.
I tell them I'm older, but I'm not old.
Right. Exactly.
Not nearly. And you know I can still outlift, you know, all the young kids at the gym, the 20-year-olds.
Sure. Absolutely. So, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries. I think of Odd Hoygen.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
He's sort of like he's an inspiration, you know, yeah. Like he's in his late 60s and he's lifting Atlas stones and he's still going hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what I think too, Jeff, is I think the mistake a lot of the men and women make is they get away from it. And you and I know this mental game that you've got to build over decades. Once you're kind of away from it, it's hard to get it back. I know a lot of friends of mine that, yeah, they came back, but they were never what they were. And I don't know if they'll dispute it because, well, that was 12 years ago and I was a different guy and I didn't have all these responsibilities. But I think your first responsibility is to yourself. And I know I've had arguments with people about that. But look, if you're not healthy and able to do things, it's not going to matter if you're married or you have two kids or 10. If you can't have yourself in good shape, you're not going to be a hell of a lot of good to anybody at that point. And that's where I think things are lost a lot in today's world because there's more emphasis, in my opinion, on an iPhone than there is on your health. So go ahead, take it away.
Okay. So when I was in my early 20s,
yep.
I was going to the gym. I go in, you know, six-month bursts.
Yep.
And I basically couldn't put on any kind of muscle. Like, I was in really good shape. I was biking a lot and running. I was about 160 pounds. But, yeah, just never really made any progress until my early 30s. And August 31st, 2003, I said, okay, I'm going back to the gym.
Yep.
And I'm not stopping this time, and I haven't. So I basically worked out, I think it's on the average of every second day since that date. So that's 14 years.
Yeah.
And I did start sort of like a powerlifting basis workout, but it's evolved recently into stones.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you, which is interesting, because the stones, like all of us, you know, with Steve Jack, that's what got me fired. What was it? Was it going out and looking at people? Or I know you have communication with Martin, too. Yes. What was it that got you got the juices going for stones?
Okay, well, I've always been aware of the Husafell stone. I know that they used the stone in the 1992 World's Strongest Man in Reykjavik.
Yep.
Now, in early 2014, my sister-in-law actually asked my wife and I if we wanted to go to Iceland with them, because Iceland Air started flying direct out of several Canadian cities, whereas before you'd actually have to go to Europe first and then kind of double back.
Yeah.
So Iceland Air started flying out direct out of Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. So we said, yeah. Like, I'd always thought Iceland would be a cool place to go, but I never really thought I'd go there.
Yeah.
So as soon as that trip was, you know, going ahead, I had about 6 months, and in that time, I did more research on lifting stones, and I found out, you know, there's not just the Husafell stone in Iceland. There's quite a few more, and then Scotland has a whole bunch, and Wales. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to go lift the Husafell stone when I go to Iceland.
Well, I'll tell you what. Is that impressive? Tell everybody. I mean, I've said it a million times. Is that place impressive or what?
I would go back there, like, in a minute.
I'm with you. I mean, I miss it like you wouldn't believe. I mean, look, when we did that stone tour, all those places were great. They were grand. But there's something about it I tell everybody, because they wouldn't know unless I said it or they'd been there. And so when you're on that little road, you know you hit Husafell, you'll see the big cross, the gold cross on the church when you're there. And you will, that especially on a sunny day, you'll spot that right away. And I said, if you're coming the way we would be coming, you'd be making a right in. And you'll see immediately, if you look to your left, you'll see some people call it a sheep pen, others call it a goat pen. Chances are you might even see the Husafell stone laying down, because wherever they drop it, that's where it is. It's absolutely incredible. And, you know, I remember the first time I went there. And we, you know, we went down and parked at the church because we wanted to go in there, take a look at it, you know, look at Snorri Bjornsson's grave that's right there. We knocked on the door, and his ancestor came out, and he gave us a tour of a lot of things. And of course, you know, you're getting close to it when you see the big stone carved out with Snorri Bjornsson's face on one side. And I remember when we got right up on it, I said to myself, I couldn't believe I was there. I probably watched that DVD. Well, I wore it out. I probably watched it 100 times. And it was just amazing to be around that energy, to know that who came before me, whose DNA is on that rock, the whole thing. So tell everybody, you got there and you went up, and whatever you did prior to going right to where the goat pen is, what was the experience you were feeling?
It's just like you said, you know, there's this legacy of all the lifters that have been there before, like in the Husafell stones case, you know, over 200 years of lifters.
Yeah.
It's in a beautiful location too, with the glacier to the north there.
Yep.
Luckily we had actually I went there twice.
Okay.
The first time was the day after we got there, and the weather was really good. And I said, you know what, I'd like to go out to Husafell.
Yeah.
And well, the weather's good. And so it's about, as you know, it's about an hour and a half out of Reykjavik to the north.
Yeah, it's a good ride.
Yep, so a really beautiful drive, but we got out there, and I didn't really get a very good lift on it that day. I broke it from the ground maybe 6 inches.
Yep.
It was tough.
Yeah.
You know, I trained for it, but I didn't do the right kind of training.
Yep.
So and of course the stone itself is it's like glass.
Yeah.
In some spots it's smooth. It's very difficult to get a hold of. And of course you got the weight of it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of discouraged when we left, and then about a week later, it was the day before we were heading back to Canada.
Yep.
I said to my wife, "Let's go out there again. I want to try it again."
Yeah.
So I left Reykjavik, and we actually stopped at John Paul Sigmarsson's grave.
Okay,
He's buried in a there's a little churchyard.
Yep.
If it's actually on the way to the Husafell stone. It's just north of the city, so we stopped there, paid respects.
Yep.
And went out to Husafell, and it still took me, I think we were there for maybe 2 hours.
Yep.
But I finally got it.
Nice.
Took everything I had.
Yep.
I carried it only, you know, two or three steps.
Yep.
But at least I got some pictures.
Yeah.
And we actually went out to Dritvik after that.
Did you?
And it was pouring rain.
Yep.
So I wasn't able to lift the largest one. There's no way.
Yeah. It's it's real interesting stuff. One thing with the Husafell, too, you know, most people don't realize there aren't any handholds, really, with that. You can't get your fingers into much with that. Now, I know people turn it 180, you know, they do a lot of different ways. I know Bill Crawford basically turned it sideways, and he's had, obviously, incredible success with it. We have steel stones here we call Husa steels, and they have the exact dimensions of the stone here. And that's what I use to train for it. And I'm not doing anything tricky at all the next time, because I'm going to lift it like I train it, where everybody says, well, it looks like a big shield. That's exactly how I'm going to lift it. Because if I don't lift it that way, I'm not going to be able to lift it at all, in my opinion. So that's how I look at it. What do you feel, as I ask everybody, you know, whether it's the Denny's or any type of stone, you know, some people like Stevie Shanks will say, well, I think the one-handed dumbbell deadlift. Others will say to me the thick bar bent row. Others are like, you gotta hit the trap bar, or you gotta hit some form of a deadlift every day with this, among training the stone and, you know, your squatting and all that. What do you feel is what you're gonna need to get back there and do the full lap with it? Where, you know, a lot of people give opinions at work and they've had success, but what for you, Jeff, do you feel you're going to need to do to get that?
There's some things to do, can be done at the gym, but there really is no substitute for actually getting some stones and training with those. And I do have a collection of lifting stones.
Yep.
There's even one, I call it the Harkarl stone.
Okay. Okay.
It's that's the national dish of Iceland.
Yep. Yep.
But it's about the same shape as the Husafell stone, and it's almost exactly half the weight.
Nice.
So it's like
nice.
My Husafell trainer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you got to train stones. Now, when Charlie went, and he had probably the best stone lifting year ever. You know, he had worked with Andrew Carney on it. And they just felt like one of the areas that he really worked was the upper back. That's where they felt he had weakness. They shored that up, and he had a hell of a year, obviously. I definitely, like Mark Haydock, he's the guy that really is a big believer in the trap bar deadlift, among other things. I'm with him there, I mean, on that. But I also like, and I think it's very beneficial, is heavy bent rows, too. As heavy bent rows translate to picking a stone up for me big time. And I want to go there, and I don't want anything other than grabbing that beast and picking it up and going a full lap with it. You know, I don't want anything other than that. If I can go further, I'll walk it further, too. It doesn't matter, because as much as I want to go on this Stone tour with everybody, and I will, the bottom line is the Husafell. I want to get that monkey off my back once and for all and do that. And I just feel, I've said to people, if that's all I lift the rest of my life, that's a hell of a way to go out as a Stone lifter, in my opinion. Because sure, as much as the Dinnies, the Inver, and all the other Stones there, I still believe the Husafell is the greatest manhood Stone ever, period. Because it's one thing to be strong and lift that stuff, and it's not taking anything away from anyone. But, man, when you got to take a 418-pound Stone that's almost, it's just defiant, okay? And you can wrap that thing and get that around that goat pen like that. I just think that is, I don't know. To me, it's the top gun in the in the drawer. So, comment on any of that.
Yes, picking it up is one thing, but carrying it around that pen, like I have great respect for anyone that can do that. Like that is a true feat of strength.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that. I think what you got to do is not only respect where you are, but you can't get caught up in the moment. And that's what I think happens a lot of people. They train. Well, you don't know what you're going to meet with that thing. You know, that's what I was saying to Charlie the other night. You can do everything right, blah, 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 blah. You step on Iceland air and you get over there and suddenly, you know what? There's no more training days. There's no more nothing. Everything you've done has prepared you to go after that beast, and that's when finality kind of hits you right in the face, man, because you're here, you're there, the Stone is sitting right in front of you, man, and here it is, it's time to go. And the thing I love about Stone lifting, you know, with so many sports now where they just make excuses, you know, you either lift the thing or you don't, and you go home, or whatever you're going to do, you know, and that's what I love about all this stuff. It's the same way the weight world, you know? You lift the bar, you squat the bar, you press the bar. If you don't do it, you don't do it. You know what I mean? I can't sit there. Well, I can make excuses and say, well, I didn't get 8.5 hours of sleep and I didn't get my 15th meal intake. What a load of crap. That's all crap. That's excuses. So that's what I really love about that. I don't know if you know, you probably do, depending on when you go, you can stay in Husafell, too, in the inn. And Stevie gave me, I believe it's a hotel that's not far from there either that I could probably walk to the pen. That's how I'm doing it this time. I'm not doing any more of the Reykjavik trek to there. We got lost a little bit the last time. And it's, you and I both know, sitting in a car when you want to do something like that, that can deflate the air right out of you, literally. So, go ahead. Take it.
Yeah, I believe that hotel is it's practically across the road, just up the road.
Yep.
To the north, and yep, like there's a golf course right over there, and I think that's where the hotel is.
Okay. But that's what I'm doing the next time. I'm not doing any more car travel other than airport, you know, Reykjavik to Husafell. We'll just drive the night or whatever we got to do.
Yeah, it is a bit of a drive, and it's kind of, I wouldn't say out in the middle of nowhere, but it's definitely in a rural spot. And I know when I was trying to lift the Stone the first time, like I had a bunch of family members there. My sister-in-law was thinking, this could turn out really bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, the nearest hospital is an hour and a half away.
Yeah, absolutely. When we were Toyota sponsored us in 8, we were in places that's what I said. If something ever happened, you would bleed out. There's no way you could get back. There's no way. And I'm trying to think. I want to say Lotcher, we had two medical doctors there. Two. It doesn't matter. It's the distances are so far. And we were on some of these roads that, you know, you veer a little bit, you're going into the drink, literally. You know, so there's more than just lifting the stones. There's a lot of stuff going on around you. But I also, for me, I think that's the attraction. You know, it's, you get there, but it's not as easy to get there as, you know, like if I'm driving in Albany and I got nice paved roads and I don't have to worry about rocks in the middle of somewhere where we got to either go around or move them, all right? But it was totally enjoyable. And I tell people, even if you're not a stone lifter, you got to go check out Iceland. It is absolutely, you know, I've even thought that I wouldn't mind living there even. That's how much it impressed me. To, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was beautiful there. Scotland, too.
Yep. Yep.
And with the Scottish stones,
yep,
most of those, too, are out in, they're scattered amongst the Highlands.
Yep.
You know, they're, I think just about every one, except for the Inverse Stone and the Dinnies.
Yep.
There was no one else around.
Yeah, that's what we were laughing about, because the only thing that's watching you occasionally, a car might go by and see you and stop, as those guys are telling me. But really, it's just the birds and stuff like that are watching you, because I don't remember. It might have been Martin who told me when they were going to lift some of the stones. I mean, literally, it was early in the morning, and the stones were frozen to the ground. You know, so, you know, either it's coming up when you pull it, or you're going to have to come back another day. And that leads me right into, how did you get introduced to Martin? This is Martin Janzik, everybody.
When I got back from Iceland,
yep,
I found Martin's site.
Yep.
It's called Historic Stone Lifting on Facebook. And I contacted him, you know, pretty much right away.
Yep.
This was back in 2014. And we've been corresponding ever since. Talking about the stones, he helped me locate quite a few of them, and I found all the GPS coordinates, and I had those, and they were actually really easy to find.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got a ton of history on there. There's also James Graham.
Yep.
Maintains a site too.
Yep.
A lot of Peter Martin's information.
Yep.
Him being a Scottish stone historian.
Yep.
So, yeah,
they're great guys, because yeah, James wasn't on that long ago, and, you know, he wrote the Denny book, and he sent me one. It was an incredible read, and we talked all about it. We're going to have him on soon, and like I said, I believe it's Friday, I've got Martin on here, and Martin's got to be one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. I mean, that's what I was saying the other day to Charlie, too. I was like, you know, one thing I really enjoy with these guys, besides not only their strength, but, you know, how they care about people so much, but they're very reliable people, and they really, really, whatever they talk about, they live, you know, and I think that's vitally important. And that's going to lead me into the next thing with you, is this. And I mean, anybody can comment on this, because they're going to say, well, that's normal. That's what it should be. How much mental tenacity do you have to get ready for one of these great stones, in your opinion?
It's almost half the battle right there, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can be, you can be all trained up, but, you know, I know that a lot of weightlifters, if they've never trained with stones before,
yep,
they'll have a hard time. It's,
yeah,
because it's just it's a totally different way of lifting.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say mentally, it's half of it is right there. You know,
yeah,
if you're not sort of in the zone,
yeah,
it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And not only that, you see something like that Husafell standing there. I don't care how good of a lifter you are. You're like, whoa. I mean, because like I said before, the reality hits you right in between the eyes. And it's like, well, I've done all this other stuff. But like you said, stone lifting is a whole different beast to play around with. And things that you feel, you know, I've had people say, well, I deadlift X amount of this, and that's only 418 pounds. I was like, that thing, when you go to grab it, it's going to feel double 418. I mean, I don't care how strong you are or how strong you think you are, a lot of times this is a real big chunk of reality to swallow. Now, if you really love the stuff and you're interested, well, yeah, it got you this time, but you're going to come back and get it the next time. And I think that's where any of these stones really flourish with you, because if you have the aptitude for it, and obviously you're going to have to work very hard and be very smart with what you do, you know, you're going to have victory. And these are things, I mean, when we talk about this stuff, I mean, I can't wait to meet all those guys. I mean, we could probably talk day in, day out about this. You never get tired of it. You're always comparing notes, and you're always thinking about, okay, how can I do this better? Or I the last time I didn't get successful with it, what can I do to get successful? And that will lead into here, obviously. Grip is a monster thing with anything. We know that. How much is grip influenced you now, especially now that you're lifting stones?
Well, for me, that was what I concentrated on training before Scotland, because for Iceland, I had maybe 6 months to train, so I was doing a lot of deadlifts and bent over rows, things like that.
Yep.
And when I got to the Húsafell stone, like my grip's not too bad, but it definitely I definitely could have trained it better. Like hand strength with stone lifting is, to me, that's almost the key.
Yeah.
That's like you said, you know, you can deadlift 400 pounds, but on a bar it's easy to grab. But like with a stone, it's a totally different way of picking something up, and it's almost like a your weak link.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yep. So if I had to, if I go to Iceland again, which I hope I do,
yep,
I will, basically, training with actual stones is the key, because you build your grip.
Yep.
Just picking up stones and holding them. But yeah, I was doing a lot of one-handed deadlifts.
Yep.
And like stuff like that. Of course I have a set of Captains of Crush.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, look, it grip machines, you know, I'm a big believer in training the hell out of the thumb too. The thumb's good, especially if you want to go lift like any type of circus dumbbell or a Thomas Inch. And it definitely works for stones. I think if I had to train one thing on the fingers, it'd be the thumb all the time. I do a lot of that with Titans, and obviously lifting the stones out in the yard and the steel ones, because, I mean, those steel ones hurt as much as a natural stone. So that's a big thing. And I know we're getting near time and everything, but I want to ask you, what stones had you lifted in Scotland? I mean, did you grab the Inver, I know the Dinnies, but elaborate on that to everybody, please.
Okay, I lifted 15 of the historic stones in 12 locations.
Wow.
I can go through the list.
Go ahead.
We started with the Wallace Pudding stone.
Yep.
Saddlin Mare lifted the Ardvorlich stone.
Yep.
The Pewterac, the Glenroy stones, the Barravan stone, the Achernock stones, the Dinny stone, the Inver stone, the Delwinnie stone, the Newtonmore stone. I saw the Castle Mangus stone, but I didn't actually lift it.
Okay.
And the last one was the Fianus stone. So in order, that's what I lifted.
That's impressive as hell. The Fianna, now that's the stone that's right by the road, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I remember in Stones and Strength watching Peter Martin. I think there's a picture of that in there, or I saw it in Milo or one of them, because I love reading Stones and Strength. I don't know how many times I've read that book. You know, just such interesting stuff. And you know, like Steve Jack said, you know, there's something about a stone, and he always believed your inners reflect your outers, and that's how we talk here, too. And it's like the stone, as he said, is something eternal. And it definitely is, because we are drawn to them, and not everybody is, but there's just some of us who just love the idea, the fact that this is what we want to do. And regardless what the outcome is, I think there is just that burning fire within all of us that we're going to get back. And we are attracted to it. And it's got, you know, they talk about magnetic this and that. Well, there's an awful lot to that, because I think that stuff just doesn't happen by accident with us. I think that something sets it off, and then we decide what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and when we're going to do it. And I think that all comes down to this. I think we need to learn to listen to ourselves. They, you know, they'll call it your inner voice. There's a lot of truth to that, because there's so many things now, especially, that dissuade people from taking chances. You know, let's be safe. Let's not get hurt. You know, you could trip in your house and kill yourself, literally. I just love the idea of going after things that other people have had success with and measuring yourself like that. I think it's very important, and the thing that I try to stress to everybody when we talk about this, whether they're stone lifters, weight lifters or not, is this. When you do things of that magnitude, your whole life improves. Your whole vision of things improve. And a lot of the things that you've wanted to do and haven't had the confidence to do it, suddenly you're going after them. And I think that is one of the greatest things of physical culture. Jeff, why don't you comment on that? Take your time. Give out anything you want. Let me give my information. Hang on the line, and we'll bring you back in 2018, my friend.
Sounds good. With the historical stones, they're not just stones. They're historical artifacts.
Yep.
So I would say to anyone who goes to Scotland or to Iceland, just to kind of keep that in mind, like the legacy of these stones. Like, for instance, the Fianna Stone. Like that's been used as a test of strength for over 1,000 years.
Yep.
So just going to lift something like that, and you know that there's been, well, who knows how many, like maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands of people.
Yeah.
In all those years that have lifted those. I would just say, yeah, it's like with the Husafell stone too. I mean, 200 years people have been lifting that. When you go to this place that it's kept.
Yeah.
You know, you look around you and it's just the people that have been there before you.
Yeah.
You know, 100, 200 years before and lifted these, just trying to, well, I know in Scotland it was, they used to use these stones like to actually test the clan members' strength.
Yep, or absolutely.
Or when they'd become a man, you know, they'd lift these.
So, I agree. No, I mean, you know, you'd get your place anywhere when you were one of the premier lifters. We know that. And, you know, the whole thing with all of it is I don't feel that there are a lot of things in America where you're tested anymore, because, you know, we know that ideals have changed. It's more of a technical society now. Kids are not required to do a lot of things. Hell, they've run physical ed out of most schools now. You know, I have nieces and nephews. I see what's going on in sports. I mean, nobody can be put in place anymore because you're going to hurt their self-esteem. Or, you know, everyone should get a chance to play whether they can or not. And, you know, everyone gets a trophy. Well, that's all well and good in a confined area. But if you go somewhere remote like a Scotland or a Iceland, there's nobody going to be there with a trophy for you. And basically, the guys that I went with, most of them give you a good stiff kick in the ass until you get going. You know, yeah. And that's why I like things like this, because what's very important to me, especially now with both businesses, is to know where you stand. And whether that's in what you do or the people that surround you, I think that is more important than anything. Of course, I think loyalty and honor and valor all go with the stuff we do, and that's never out of date. I don't care what anybody tells you. Jeff, you got anything else, brother?
Yep, just to with what you were just saying.
Yeah.
You know, with the historical stones, it's basically it's you and the stone. It's either you lift it or you don't. There's no trophies. It's whether you can or not. And even if you can't lift it, it's you know, you still are attempting something that many people before you have done.
Yes.
Like I was, you know, I had pretty good luck. I was able to lift all of the ones I attempted.
Yep.
You know, to varying degrees, but
yep.
You know, the first time I lifted the Husfell stone, like I said, I just barely broke it off the ground, and you know, I was pretty discouraged at first.
Yeah.
Driving away, but I thought, you know what, I still, you know, I gave it a shot, and
yep.
You know, technically I lifted it 6 inches off the ground, so I did lift it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's to me, it's just being there too.
Yep.
In the location that these stones are kept, and like not the lifting is just part of it. There's the legacy.
Yep.
And you know the attempt.
I agree, totally. I just think that it's an opportunity that few people ever discover, and as I said, it's more than just lifting a stone, and it's more than just lifting the iron. It's you. And it makes you the best you can be, whether people out there believe it or not. As I say to people, you got to go out and get a taste of it for yourself. The problem is, let's be honest, this stuff is no walk in the park, and you just have to have a discipline and a resolve that, you know, it's not as easy as everyone thinks it is. And that's why, you know, it'll always be that way. And a lot of us like that because, you know, I talk about mainstream with the show and everything, but, you know, I don't want to ever see that stuff mainstream because then there's going to be rules and only certain times you could do it. No, that's not what I want with it. You lose the purity of it then. And I never want to see that go. Anything else, Jeff?
I would like to thank Martin Jancics.
Okay.
The trip to Scotland wouldn't have been possible without his help.
Okay.
So I'm really grateful to him for taking the time.
Yep.
To he even met me. We lifted the Barravan stone together and
okay.
The Auchernock stones and. He was there when I lifted the Dinny stones, and then afterwards we went over and lifted the Inverse stone together.
Nice, nice. So
it was just great of him to.
Yep.
He's a family man.
Yep.
And you know he spent a good chunk of his weekend with me.
Yep.
Like he's very dedicated.
Oh yeah.
To stone lifting.
He's a class act, let me tell you. And we were very lucky to meet him through Bill Crawford. I think Martin is one of the, without even meeting him, and I will meet him, he's somebody that I would definitely like to spend some time with. He is, he's just a great person, and I love his ideas how to do things. I mean, they're great, but that will come next year, 2018, and, who knows, maybe we'll all meet one another and do some stuff. It'll be a hell of a time. This is my Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Like I said, go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, Winners and Champions Inc. I mean, as I said, there's plenty of stuff in there to build you up if you want to be a stone lifter because I talk about all that stuff. Sandbags, high shrugs, all this good stuff. A lot of stuff that's been kind of forgotten. And these are result producing, movements that just will strengthen the hell out of you and change your physical and mental resolve for sure. Also, contributions to the company, FiorellaBarbellCo.com. There's a contribute page. Anything you would like to lend to the companies is very much appreciated. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com and look at all the shows we have out there. The show I am doing presently with Jeff will be up Sunday, so be on the lookout for that. Also, too, sign up for a free newsletter on motivationmuscle.com. As I said, we'll be resuming that next year, which is only a few days away, obviously. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Jeff and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review, and if you would like to get our show in your car, you can go out to AHA Directory, it's called AHA, you can get M&M 24/7, believe me. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them or help them out with 5 words of inspiration, because we know what that can do. It can change your life forever. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. You don't know what these people are dealing with, and it can change your perspective big time. If you're going to lift it, bend it, twist it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, there will be more and more of that, my friend. I can tell you that for sure. Also, too, we'll probably be doing a show shortly with Russell. He's just gotten into thick bar work big time, and he loves it. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. That was a mantra with him all the time. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor I ever had, who we lost 3 years ago to cancer, he'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on good or bad days, or walk around and say it. You'll feel the change in your being when you do that. No one will ever clip, well, I already said that, but there's a number of other things, but you know, There's something that you have to learn right up front, and that is you have to have this permanent drive to everything. And that's why we say when we talk about Les Brown, you all have greatness. Well, you do. But we take it 2 steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you. And I don't know many people that really would ever get into that. And, you know, we talk about stewards of strength. You know, don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to kick your door in. We'll blow your roof right off the house. We want you to be part of the family, part of this revolution for the next 30 years. You need us, and we need you, and we are going big places, I'm telling you. Also, too, you know, as I always repeat, I love saying this, you're all winners, you're all champions. You know, winners never quit, and quitters never win. And that's where we'll leave it. Jeff, it's an honor to have you on. We'll get you on next year. And we always wish you all the success in the world with whatever you do. And maybe next year we'll all run into each other at some point in Iceland or Scotland or Wales or Ireland. But who knows? The world's wide open. So thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you very much, Eric. And, that would be great if we could all meet over there.
Yeah, it'd be great. So, for Jeff Valadakis, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have this show up, like I said, on Sunday. Stay tuned. We got a big, big week next week. And obviously now we're going to be going into January, which we start everything. And who knows where we're going to go from there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope you'll all join us in 2018. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.